Gene, puke his blood out of him.
Man, let's go home.
Until I got in the car. And when I sat down in Larry Medcalf's Datsun B210, I got stoned again. It hit me, I lied enough. And all the way from Greensboro, North Carolina, to Dallas, which was about 3 hours, I went like this, oh God, don't let me die. If I die, I'll go to hell. Oh God, don't let me die. If I die, I'll go to hell. Oh God, please don't let me die. If I die, I'll go to hell. Next morning, I woke up. I had long hair. It's at least as long as hers. I just got a pair of scissors and cut it off. Walked down the bathroom later, what's wrong with you? I go, oh, no! I was running from God, running from the world, running from myself. And all along, I was running into God's glorious presence.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
I was running, like a lot of us are in this building tonight, to a place where God would educate us.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, sir. Where He would take us to school. And He would school us. Not with teachers, but with an environment. You see, the first thing He finds is in Deuteronomy 32 and 10. And I like this. This is where it's almost sounds like God found him there, but God knew where he was at. And it says this, and he found him in a desert land. A howling wasteland of wilderness. Look here what God did to him. He encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him like he was the apple or pupil of his eye. I mean, he's ran from everybody. He's in a desert. A dry place. Does that say? Yeah, that says a howling wasteland. That means there's not much life there.
That's right.
That means that there's not much hope there. Uh-huh. That means there's not much security there.
That's right.
That means there's not much shelter there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're there to the bare elements. The sand to beat you. The wind to burn you. The sun to burn you more than the wind will. The night to freeze you. The lack of provision of water. The lack of substance of food. But in that howling wasteland, it goes on to say, He led him. He instructed him. He kept him. He watched over him. Isn't it strange? I got to say this. Just somebody ought to get this. This is for somebody here. If you don't want it, I want it. When you don't... Come on. You ever said this? This is what he wants me to say. You ever said that, I don't know where God's at in my life. I can't... Twice. Are you asking you what time they were? We ain't going there. He said twice, though. And God all along is watching over you.
Amen.
Yes,
He is. Encircling you.
Yes, He is.
Yes.
Watching you like you would protect your pupil.
God. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, amen.
I've welded before or helped a welder one time when I first started, and I was standing in a corner and the wall was white and I got a flash burn. Mm-hmm. I never looked at the welder, never looked at the arc, but it burnt my pupil. And I'm telling you, that's the worst one I ever got. And I learned from that the thing you got to do is shut your eyes.
Yes.
The thing you got to do is wear protection because you want to protect your eyes.
Yes.
Hello?
Amen.
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 And God says, I'm going to protect you like I would protect my eye. Look at the next thing. Is the desert itself. It's His time in the desert. It's His location. It's Midian. It's flat. It's barren. It's full of rocky shrubs. And it has lots and lots and lots of sand. God gave him a vocation. These are things you're getting in the devil. In the desert. You're getting a vocation. He had to work for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Just in case you don't get that, when he was in Egypt, he didn't have to work for no body. He was his own boss. People did what he said do, and they didn't question a son of Pharaoh. But now, he is employed by somebody else that will tell him what to do.
Come on, preach that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's 10 o'clock. Oh, it's North Carolina.
Come on.
I don't know if I should do that or not. So.
Amen. Come on. Come on. We're working. We're working.
Come on.
Okay, I hear y'all. And he's always got to stand here to God's presence and stand account for what you're about to say.
He's got your back.
I watched God give a man 9 businesses at one time, back after back after back after back after back. I watched that man take vacations that would last a month, 4 weeks. He went on vacation one time. Had money, had a name, had everything. Used to drive the church bus, used to be one of the visitation leaders, until he got his 9 businesses. When he got his 9 businesses, he decided that he would be a business advisor for God and tell God how to run him and his businesses. And one day, a little old preacher's wife just happened to come to his house. His name was Buddy. She walked into his house and said, "Buddy, God sent me here to tell you something." And he sat down on the fireplace. She sat on this couch with her husband and Linda, his wife, and Buddy and Bobby and Jerry and Linda started discussing. And Jerry, the preacher's wife, said, "Buddy, in prayer, God told me that if you do not repent, He will take everything that He gave you." And Buddy laughed at her and said, "I love God." I want to tell you something. It is one thing to say you love God. It is another thing to love God.
Amen. Yes.
And if you say God loves me, duh. He loves Marilyn Manson. He loves Charles Manson. He loved Ted Bundy. For God so loved. But Buddy laughed. Jerry left. Bobby left. Buddy and Linda stayed home. But something began to happen. It began to deteriorate. Everything started falling apart. Until Buddy, that owned a mobile home community of 30 acres, 110 unit spaces, and a 14-acre home that was connected to the golf course. All of a sudden, it's no longer in his 14-acre compound. And he doesn't own his 32 acres. He is now living in a 10 by 52 mobile home, which is not enough for him and his 3 children. So he gets another one and pulls the 2 together and binds them together. Yes. It's an amazing thing when you've had something that God's given you and you don't handle what God gives you right. By the way, that man, that's my father. I lived, I watched. I sat there the day Bobby and Jerry told my name. I watched it all deteriorate. You see, God puts you in the desert for you to find Him, not to fight Him. And sometimes in finding God, God will cause you to serve somebody else. And sometimes the people that he gives you to serve, you won't like them. You won't understand them. You can't hardly bear to work with them. Well,
okay, I'm boring you.
No.
I'm boring you. Lord, I apologize for boring these poor people.
It's the truth, man.
Look here. I want you to give me 15 more minutes. It'll be about 20 minutes after. I'm going to try to move through this in 15 minutes. And I'm not trying to cut God short or cut you short. But I don't want to hem haw. If you think I don't know what you're supposed to say, I absolutely do. I want him to be kind, yet vicious. I want him to be nice, yet ugly.
Do it. Come on.
Do it, brother.
Praise God.
I love you. I love your soul. I like you. Get this. I have to love every one of you, but I get to choose who I like to like.
That's true.
Like the dude with that. I know I got to love you, but there's something I like that guy. I do. Everybody's going, who is he? I don't know who he is. I just like the dude. There's something about him. Like when I met Jesse for the first time, there was just something I liked about Jesse. I regretted it not having him. I'm kidding. So, the next thing God's going to do in the desert, and let me get to my point, is God's going to send him to school. And he's going to give him some teachers. And I need my notes for this, okay? He's going to educate him. And here's the teachers he's going to give him. Ready? Teacher number one is Dr. Professor Obscurity.
Yes.
He's going to learn how to become a nobody and like it. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody likes being told you're a nobody. Hello. I mean, can you imagine when Saul, you remember King Saul, when God sent Samuel to him and said, I found somebody better than you. You know what God told him that day? You're a nobody anymore. You thought you were somebody, but now you're a nobody. You wouldn't let me educate you. But here, God is sending him Dr. Obscurity, and he's going to take him out of the limelight. Now, hold on a second. If you think when God demotes you, offer your job or in a church, that it is your right to get mad at the employer or the pastor or the teacher or whoever, you might want to go back, especially if you're a child of God, and ask God a question. Are you trying to teach me something by putting me somewhere where nobody knows anything about me, where I'm not important anymore?
Oh, man. Yes, come on. Hit her on the head.
Can I?
Hit it again.
Yes. Can I?
Yeah.
I talk about me. I've been in a church for 9 years now. I'm an evangelist. My church knows I am. But God shut the door on me and stuck me in a building in South Carolina that used to be Lucky Lisa's, a gambling place. You still haven't got the cigarette smell out of the ceiling after 9 years. We had to peel the carpet up and paint the floor. You've been there. It's ugly. Amen. Say it. It's ugly.
I like it.
And he likes it. It's ugly. People come, they don't stay. Now the ones I've got staying, they're weirdos. My daughter, they are. They're growing like crazy spiritually. I mean, they really are weirdos, but they love Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh. And for 9 years, I felt like God's going, here we go. You think you're something, don't you? Just sit there in the corner. Just sit over there. You think you're something? You talk about I preached 20-week revival. You ain't gonna preach any for hardly 9 years. And in you, there's something eating that you're going, yeah!
Yeah.
And you can get mad at God because He got you in this professor's class that you don't like. And you stop talking to God. I don't know who I'm talking to other than myself because I'm talking, telling on myself. Because when God put me on the corner, I just stopped talking to Him. But, well, you know, if I'm going to be a pastor, I might as well act like a pastor. Might as well preach like a pastor. I took some of my church members to a revival with me one night. I was like a wild man of Borneo. I was like Uncle George. I'm going to eat him up, you know? I mean, are we getting a truck? Those three guys don't say nothing. Now, one of them had been with me 100 times preaching, but two of them had never been with me. And all of a sudden, one of them asked me, who are you? Well, Troy Elwood Beaver. No, who are you? Because you're not my pastor. That wasn't my pastor in there tonight. Why don't you preach like that at church? I get in my church, I can't preach like that. I get out, you know. The next teacher is Dr. Time. What more can you say about Time? 40 years. And you think you've waited a long time. And some of us can't wait 40 minutes to get out of here. Until we go see Star Wars and watch it for 3 hours or whatever. It was really good. I went, so, or Batman versus Superman. I watched it and it was right here for 3 hours. And I didn't complain about it either.
Right.
But what can we say about Time? We'll go to Disney and stand around 1 hour and 20 minutes to ride a 45-second ride and go, woo! In a small world after. Anyway, Time is a horrible professor.
Yes, it is.
If you want to dislike somebody, dislike Time. Because Time is not on your side.
Right.
It is eating away at you. Yes. You ever heard anybody say, I'm just wasting time? No, you're not. Time is wasting you away.
Right.
And you're not taking your advantage of what God's trying to teach you in that time period. Mm.
Come on.
Next teacher is Dr. Solitude. That's a lonely place.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you want to take Valium and Ritalin and Mescaline and not Mescaline. Because you feel so lonely and you feel so blue and you feel like nobody likes you and nobody loves you and they may not.
Come on.
But you can't forget that you're still the apple of God's eye. And when nobody else understands you and nobody else likes you and you don't even like yourself, God still likes you for who you are, despite you. Is this okay?
Yeah,
this is fine. I only got like 7 more minutes, and I've got to hurry. I mean, and then there's one other professor. That's Dr. Discomfort. That's where you get uncomfortable. That's when you say, I'm not going to church anymore. Every time I just don't like church anymore. That's what we say when we're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to quit that job. Well, honey, you just started 3 months ago. I know, but I'm so stinking miserable. It's like a hand grenade or a lollipop. One or the other. Like a lightsaber, I feel like. That's all I need to do is breathe hard right now. Because I am uncomfortable doing this right now. You want to know why? I know some of you, and you don't think I'm a cuss, please don't. Some of you are miserable as hell itself. Yes. When I say that, I'm talking about a burning, literal place where the worm dies not and people are screaming. Yes. And you're not there in it, but you're there in it mentally.
Amen.
Because you're so uncomfortable with yourself, you don't even like living in your own skin. You don't even like living in what God gave you to live in. You complain that it's this, and you complain that it's that, and you complain that it's this, and you're uncomfortable, and you're miserable, and God's trying to teach you something in that uncomfortable, miserable state that you need to find out who you are and not what somebody else wants you to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
That was worth the price of admission.
Amen.
It was.
Yes, sir.
Man,
yes, sir.
I lie you not. I have no need to lie to anybody in this building. But when I said that, I felt like the weight of the world, the weight of the service, was all of a sudden like, whew, good God. Hallelujah. Lay down and quit now. You know why he made him so clean and put him through all of this? Is because of what the world, Pharaoh, had tried to make him.
Yeah.
What his mama had tried to teach him. And listen to me. What mama tried to teach him was good. And some of the traits that Pharaoh gave him and taught him were good traits. They were business skills. There were good things that he harvested out of that. All of that experience wasn't bad.
Amen.
He learned from it. But now God wants to take him and put him in this uncomfortable situation. That where one day he goes out, and I can just bear with me. I just hear him tell his wife, Sephora, I'm going out with the sheep again today. I'm going to take them out. You know, I love you. And I hear him walk out the door just mad, miserable, same old job every day. You know, same tent, same dirt, same. And he goes out and he's walking, and all of a sudden he's going to meet a professor like he's never met before.
Amen.
And this professor is going to be called Revelation. And revelation will help you in your discomfort. Revelation will help you when you feel like you've been disqualified. Revelation will show you something that you don't see in yourself. Revelation will bring you to the light of God.
Amen.
Come on.
God, I got 2 minutes.
I'll be a lot longer than that.
No way.
I'm a little bit higher.
Too late.
To my God, did you see the sound of the alarm? Oh man, I got 2 minutes. Hey man, I'm hurry. He goes out one day, and here's what happens. He turns aside to see something. He says, "Well, I'll go see what's going on down at the church." Or I'll go, you know, oh, that looks weird. That guy's weird. That's odd. See him start talking to one of the sheep. Wilbur?
That?
Does that bush look like it's burning over there? I thought it was. You stay here with the rest of the boys. You say you're crazy. Crazy things happen to you when you get alone.
Yeah.
Huh? I've heard this 3 times, and I've tried to run from it, but God said someone is battling a long-time bitterness and a long-time anger and a long-time misunderstanding against God. And you don't know why God let something happen in your life like it happened. And you've tried to get over it, and you've tried, but I feel like for whoever this is for now, and if you really want to know this, I have no need to lie. Mm-hmm. I have no need to lie. You try to get over it, you try to get over it, you try to get over it, but it keeps coming back, eating you alive. I need to tell you, I need to help you, because there's a fix in this building now.
Yes,
there's a healer in this building.
Amen.
And that healer is Revelation. That healer is Jesus. Where he manifests something to you or in you or through you like you've never had before in your life. And it brings you to a place of peace. It brings you a place where you're willing to take your shoes off. It takes you to a place of an arena with God. Where you're willing to stop complaining about who, what, when, where, and why. It all had to happen to you. The who, what, when, where, and why happened to you for a purpose. No, God didn't intend some of it. Some of it you did yourself.
All right.
Some of it you had no control over. But God said to tell us, God, I'm 2 minutes over. I apologize, folks. I really do. I wanted to be finished at 20 after. And I'm over. But I have, please forgive me.
Thanks,
God. Keep going. God's going to take the who, what, when, where, and why. And he's going to turn this into something good.
Amen.
He wanted to raise you up. And all you've been able to see is the anger, the anguish, the pain, the pitifulness that has developed in you. And he's working out all things together for your good. And I can't imagine how it would hurt to lose someone. I can't imagine how it would hurt to lose a child. I can't imagine how it hurts to lose a mate. I can't imagine how it hurts to lose a business. I can't imagine how it hurts to lose a best friend. Who turned their back on you simply because they listened to somebody else. Oh, yeah, I'm so good. God, help me. Please help me. I don't want to hurt nobody, God. I want to be obedient. I want to do what you want, God. But tonight, God, you're trying to take us in this desert that we're in. You're trying to reveal yourself to us in a way like we've never seen you before. God, we have hang-ups that you're trying to educate us over. You're trying to God educate us. We're asking men. We're looking for people to lay hands on us. We're looking for people to prophesy over us. And God, what you're wanting is us just to find you. It's not a man. Prophecy's not going to heal me. A gift of knowledge is not going to heal me. Putting on of hands is not going to heal somebody tonight. It's going to take a divine encounter with a burning God.
Amen.
Who burns in you a fire that you no longer can worry about what, but you know that he's put something in you. He burned life back in you, hope back in you, joy back in you.
Yes.
You never thought you could be happy again, but you came to encounter with the bush. You never thought that you could have peace again, but you came in with an encounter with the bush. You never thought that you could ever be used again. You never thought you could be liked again.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Woo! I'm sorry. Shouldn't do that. Hallelujah. Well, not my head. It's just like, woohoo! Yippee! Hot dog! Hallelujah! Kuna Matata! That's how I feel on the inside right now.
Hallelujah!
Go